Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Today, it's not called Paul. It's called Fitz. Jason Fitz sitting in for Paul Feinbaum on the Paul Feinbaum Show. You guys getting in on the fun, 855-242-7285. And, you know, I should be sending flowers at this point to SEC coaches for giving us so much to talk about in the middle of what we thought was going to be a quiet period. I've tweeted about it. You guys can tweet me at Jason Fitz. I just ask, if you're going to hate tweet me because I said SEC fans are cowards at this point, just know which your you're using. It's a very simple thing. If you're going to tweet me, go your as in like you're an idiot is you are an idiot. That's a contraction. So Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, you're an idiot. Golly. You know, I don't want to help people remind me that they think I'm an idiot. All this because of the arguing between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, obviously. We want to get some expertise and insight on that from somebody that is not only not an idiot, but he does very good work for The Athletic. Matt Fortuna joining us. Matt, appreciate it. You've got a great article on The Athletic right now about the history of mentor-mentee coaching beefs, because this isn't that uncommon. So let's start with the obvious here. When you've got Jimbo versus Saban, where does it rank sort of in your lexicon of all of these rivalries we get between mentor and mentee?
I honestly think Jason has the potential to be right up there with the very biggest, depending on how this thing plays out. Now, obviously, both guys will be in Destin, Florida next week for SEC spring meetings, and will presumably have to share meeting rooms, and will presumably go on, whether it's this show or one of a number of other media obligations they'll probably have down there. Like, this has the potential to grow, and obviously they're playing each other every year in the SEC West, and you know, who knows how much longer Nick Saban will still be going at it as head coach of Alabama. But as long as both those guys are still there, based on everything they both said last week, especially Jimbo Fisher, I think this has the potential to drag out for quite some time. And if it does, and if A&M can beat Alabama again, if they can beat Alabama in recruiting again, that only adds to the intrigue, right? Because it's no fun if one team or one coach is winning the whole time. It's only a rivalry if they're truly peers. And I don't think Jimbo Fisher is getting under Nick Saban's skin the way he is if he didn't have the success he did have against Alabama both on and off the field this past year.
But as you point out, you know, when you talk about success on and off the field, Kirby Smart wins a national championship with Georgia. Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be that same level of animosity. Why is this one so different?
That's a good question. And, you know, Nick Saban has said all the right things about Kirby Smart publicly, as has Kirby with Nick Saban. But I think anytime you talk to anyone who's worked with those guys, especially in the lead up to this past year's title game, it's not exactly rosy between those two. I mean, I think anytime you're at the top of your profession, the way those two are, it's just a weird, uncomfortable dynamic in some ways, especially when you're going after the same players, when there were reports that Kirby Smart took pictures of Alabama's recruiting board right when he left for Georgia and told all these recruits where they actually stood in Nick Saban's eye and why they should go with him to Athens instead. So I'd be careful to paint that as some chummy relationship. I think there are definitely some differences and some animosity between those two. But the difference, you know, between then and now with Kirby Smart and with Jimbo Fisher is Nick Saban's always been sharp enough not to take his beefs public, not to name names when he's doling out criticisms. And I think he really genuinely slipped up last week in a way that he probably hasn't before when it comes to airing some thoughts that probably would have been best kept private for his sake. And he did it to a guy who has been on the defensive for a long time, and particularly in the calendar year 2022, when he's been defending why he's had the top-ranked signing class in the country, defending himself against essentially message board posters and Lane Kiffin and some other people out there who have made some remarks about how A&M may have gotten their players. And when arguably the greatest coach of all time comes out and essentially says you bought your recruiting class, and when that coach also happens to be the boss who drove you crazy all those years ago back at LSU, it just turned into this perfect cocktail of just explosive allegations coming from both sides. And as you said, we owe these guys, you know, a bouquet of flowers and some Christmas cards for making our jobs so much easier and so enjoyable during what's usually a relatively quiet time of the year.
Yeah, well, with that in mind, though, Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, had to throw his hands in the air and say, you've got to be kidding me. What can he do at this point to sort of put the toothpaste back in the tube?
You know, it's a good question. I think, you know, one of the things that Mike Slive, his predecessor, had gotten so much credit for during his run as SEC commissioner was his ability to build consensus, to keep beefs from becoming public, to present a united front. And that's always been one of the strengths of the SEC, that, you know, you don't go you don't see fans of other conferences chanting ACC or Big Ten or what have you, the way that you see the SEC just always rally behind each other in a public setting. There's this kind of us against the world mentality when it comes to their defiance and their belief in each other. And obviously, this is an interesting scenario. I mean, Greg Sankey he is the most powerful person right now in college athletics. And I don't know how much he can possibly do to get Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban in line, so to speak. I mean, I saw Lane Kiffin go on, I forget what radio show it was, late last week, and essentially say the commissioner's office has asked us not to comment on this. We'll see how long that lasts. I'm sure Greg Sankey will have some words for this group next week behind closed doors in Destin, Florida. But again, the SEC has done a great job of turning their media days and their spring meetings into media events in a way that most conferences don't. And with those events and with that publicity comes a lot of media and interview opportunities. And I just don't know how, whether it's Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Lane Kiffin, Brian Kelly, any of the big names in that conference, Mike Leach, you know, I forget the name of them all because there's so many this year, whether it's any of those guys going up in front of reporters, going up in front of cameras, going on the Feinbaum show, what have you, it's just going to be tough to picture smooth scenarios where these guys go up there, don't get asked about what just happened between Nick and Jimbo.
These are pretty – we're talking to Matt Fortuna, by the way, from The Athletic. A great article out there about mentor-mentee relationships from coaches. You should check it out. And, you know, they're pretty serious allegations from both sides because you have Saban on the one hand making it clear that he thinks everybody's been bought, and then you have this thinly veiled response from Jimbo that says go back and look at his record. What obligation does the SEC have to investigate both of these claims at this point?
That's a good question. I mean, the fascinating part to me with Jimbo Fisher – calling that press conference on a moment's notice like he did and saying what he did in that regard is, you know, if you're saying go back and look at his record, well, who would know better than you, Jimbo? You worked for the guy and turned what was a not great LSU program at the time into a national champion pretty darn quickly. I mean, you would know, right, Jimbo? I mean, right. If Nick Saban did anything nefarious in Baton Rouge, who would know better than Jimbo Fisher? Who would have also done that? More than the offense coordinator who got Jamarcus Russell, who developed a number one draft pick, who won a national title. So that's why this has been so fascinating to me, because there's so many layers to this as far as they're in the same conference. They worked together for many years. They're both represented by Jimmy Sexton and CAA. There's so many ties between both these coaches, both these programs within this conference that if you do open that can of worms, the way Jimbo Fisher apparently did publicly, you know, who knows how far down that rabbit hole you can get, because, you know, we had a story up on our site last week with myself, Bruce Feldman, Brody Miller. I know others have talked about this endlessly. You know, you go into those SEC meetings, a lot of times it's like Nick Saban and his guys and the guys who didn't work for him. And by this point, so many guys have worked for Nick Saban because he's been in the SEC so long at two different schools that it's almost hard to separate one from the other. And to see one of his, you know, quote unquote proteges like Jimbo Fisher go out there publicly, not without cause. I mean, he was absolutely provoked by Nick Saban, so I'm not getting mad at Jimbo for acting the way he did, but to go as deep and as ugly as he did publicly really makes you wonder when and how this thing can end.
I mean, when it ends will be when they play on the field, at least for the next chapter. What's the betting here? You think they shake hands at the end? Is there going to be like a weird hug at this point, or do they just sort of glare at each other like 80s wrestling stars and then walk off? That's what I want personally, Matt.
Oh, it'd be great, right? If they just you know, didn't shake hands or you know, got into a shouting match. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, right? I mean, didn't A&M and LSU get into it at the end of that 7 overtime game in 2018. So Jimbo, for better or worse, has been down this road before. I'm sure they'll shake hands at least after the game on October 8th, but I'm really curious if the SEC tries to roll anything out publicly to save face next week, since they'll all be in the same hotel together.
Matt, before I let you go, I was remiss. I forgot to ask you the most important question I've been asking everybody today when they come on the show, even the callers. What was your first concert?
First concert? Blink-182, sixth grade, Jones Beach.
Oh, Jones, like in New York, that's a great, that it floods all the time, but it's a great amphitheater. Was it a good show?
It was an awesome show. They lifted the curtains. There was a word I will not repeat on a family radio network, lit up in fire, and 12-year-old Matt thought it was the coolest, most bad you-know-what thing in the world, and I really felt really cool for only that moment growing up.
That is a cool way to start, and I've had to avoid some of those words as we've told stories throughout the course, but I will tell everybody listening, Jones Beach is cool because it's in New York, but they actually have to wrap the stage wires under special cables because it floods so much that shows would get, they'd get canceled all the time. So when we played there when I was touring, it was funny because we had to hold and hold and hold to figure out if water was going to short out the whole stage, and then they decided to let us play. So the Jones Beach is a great place. What a memory, Matt. Check out the article out there on The Athletic. Great work from Matt. We appreciate you hanging out with us, my friend.
Thanks, Jason. Hey, Don.
Great work from Matt. And a reminder that this isn't as uncommon as we think. The question is, who's getting it right? Who's getting it wrong? I want you guys to just give me the definitive statement, 855-242-7285. Are you Team Saban? Are you, at this point, Team Jimbo? And I'll tell you why there's an in the middle on all of it that maybe everybody's missing. We'll do that next. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz sitting in for Paul.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz filling in for Paul. 855-242-7285. Who's getting it right? Saban? Jimbo? Are you Team Saban? Are you Team Jimbo? There's probably some truth lying in the middle somewhere. 855-242-7285. Plus, don't forget, we're going to ask you your first concert when you call. And anytime the regular callers of Paul call in, that means I'm doing something right. So we're going to talk to Jim in Tuscaloosa. Jim, thanks for calling the show. Jim, what was your first concert, brother?
You're doing something right or not, man, because I got something for you. I hope you can gird your loins or whatever you call it and put on your safety belt, whatever you have to do, because I got something. Here's what I want to know, man. Did Paul give you a new car or two new cars to do what you're doing? Did he pay you very well to do this?
Oh, I mean, Paul didn't pay me. I mean, ESPN takes good care of me. I'm thankful to have a great
job. I know. Yeah, well, I thought Paul might personally have done this because he's smart enough to do this, what's going on. I'll tell you, I'll fill you in on what's going on if you don't already know. But I just wonder. I know ESPN is not that smart. But here's the thing, man. After you've been on for the rest of this week, there'll be people sleeping out, lining up around the studio Monday morning to welcome Paul back, frantically saying, please, Paul, get back in the studio and stop this craziness, insanity. I mean, good night. I don't want to say you're the worst host, but you are the worst I've ever heard.
Oh, really? Thank you so much, Jim. What would you have me do differently, my friend?
You're talking about music. I mean, I've lived a sheltered life. I've never been to a concert. Could you get me some tickets?
Yeah, I could get you some tickets, but not after you're mean to me, Jim. Why would I get you tickets now?
Well, I mean hey,
let me tell
I'm
you,
just,
I get you tickets to almost anything.
I'm a straight shooter. If you know anything about me on the show, I'm a straight shooter. I guarantee you, you're doing.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm saying you're doing the biggest favor to Feinbaum you could possibly do, because they won't be able to. People that can't stand Feinbaum will love him next week when he comes back.
Wow!
And that's what you're doing for the show.
Well,
so
Jim,
I'm giving you applause. I'm giving you applause, man, for what you've done or what you'll be doing this week.
Well, you know what, Jim? I appreciate that. You know, you can check me out on Spain and Fitz, too, Monday through Friday, 7 or 9 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I can't. Oh, golly, I got to get that. I can't wait.
Oh,
I mean,
or,
really,
you know,
I,
If you want, you can also check me out on any of the digital platforms. You know,
I mean,
got a couple of Sports Emmy nominations. Not good enough for Jim, but good enough for them.
That's all you're doing is giving your self-centered musical life. I mean, let's face it. That's what you're doing.
Oh, my self-centered music? I'm asking everybody else their first concert. That makes
nothing
me self-centered,
but your own this is crazy what you're doing. You're a goofball. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's just the truth. You're
Wait,
a goofball.
Are you sorry, though? Like, see, because you can't say you're sorry unless you're actually sorry, Jim. I don't know what you're doing here. Like,
well,
you said you're sorry, but I don't
say
think
that.
You're sorry.
I'm sorry that you are this way. Well, that's what I'm sorry about.
You're sorry that I'm this way?
Show has gotten this bad where they had to get you in here. That's what I'm sorry about.
Well, tell you what, Jim, why don't you go ahead and let me know where your show is, and I'll come listen to it anytime you want. I'll
give
you feedback.
Well, I've turned down 5 shows in the last 12 years. I could do a show if I wanted to, but I don't want to. It's too much work.
Sure. Oh, it's too much work. It is too much work doing a show.
Hey, man,
but you
look,
know what?
I wish you well. I guarantee you, Paul will be, if he doesn't pay you a big something check for what you're doing for him, something's wrong. That's all I can tell you. Something's wrong.
Well, something's wrong.
Glad to talk to you.
Hey, Jim,
you seem like a nice guy. In spite of your goofiness, you seem like a nice guy.
Jim, I appreciate your call, my friend. And
what else? You'll get tons of callers calling in because I'm hated on this show.
Well, look, I don't hate you, brother. I'm just going to tell you.
I know you don't.
I appreciate your call. I'll always remind everybody that doesn't like my work. Number one, not everybody can be for everybody.
Really,
so that's
good to talk to you. You ought to be getting a big check at the end of this week.
Well, I'll get you my address, Jim. You go ahead and send it to me because it sounds like you got
it.
So
not me. No, I wouldn't be sending no check, but I think Fine Bomb should.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much, Jim. It's an honor, pleasure, and privilege to talk to you. Just remember, y'all, like, important note here. I grew up a fat kid that played classical music. Like, there's nothing that y'all can say that's worse to me than sixth grade girls said. So, like, I'm good. Like, I can handle the feedback. Jim may not. Yeah, it may not be for everybody. That's okay. We can't all be here for everybody. I-Man's on the line. Man, I'm getting all the Paul regular callers. Let's go. I-Man, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I tell you, that dude couldn't snap 2 fingers if he had one. You know, you're talking about concerts. Now, Montgomery used to have still have radio stations, but we used to have the radio station that owned a sister station in Birmingham and Jacksonville, Florida. And they, back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, they had the Shower of Stars or the Big Bam shows or whatever. They'd bring 7 or 8 national acts in at once. And, you know, they'd play six, seven songs, and it was just pretty cool. I guess, now I've been going to concerts and little jam sessions in parking lots forever. But I guess the first national acts would go back to that, say like 68, 69. Would have been people like Paul Revere and the Raiders, the Grassroots, the Crazy World of Arthur Brown, maybe some Iron Butterfly in there, Joe South, Tony Joe White, different things, you know. And but yeah, now when I turned about 15, we started going to our, you know, picking our own shows, and I tell you, a lot of bands came in and out of Montgomery. We didn't have the Zeppelins and the Who's, but we certainly had the other acts, the Black Oak Arkansas's, Blue Oyster Cult, you know, Jay Giles Band, Marshall Tucker, lots of folks, killer bands. And yeah, when I got a little older and started about 15, I guess the first major show I ever traveled to would have been in Boulder, Colorado, the Rolling Stones, Kansas, Peter Tosh, and Eddie Money.
That's amazing. You're giving off a whole era of concerts, by the way, that are just incredible, man. They're incredible.
Oh, and nothing but talent. And you was talking about the band Perry earlier. I tell you what, those kids, when I first heard them, I thought they were one of the more amazing new younger artists coming up that I had heard in forever.
Well, I absolutely loved working for them and working with them, and we made some music I'm really proud of, you know, despite Jim's thoughts on it. We made some music that, you know, I'm proud is still on the radio, and it's pretty amazing to listen, to be driving down the road and hear something that you were a small part of, and so I'm always forever thankful for that. I appreciate it. Now, you have anything you want to get off your mind in the college football landscape?
Oh, yeah, a couple things. That last guy you were talking to, he doesn't care about music. I mean, you know, he doesn't know anything about music, so therefore he feels good when he knocks you. That's who he is. But, you know, let's go to this Nick Saban-Jimbo Fisher conversation. I tell you, Jimbo Fisher is not scared of Nick Saban. Nick Saban has gone on record saying he has two of those little Debbie oatmeal cakes for breakfast. It's obvious to me in the world that Jimbo walked into Nick's kitchen, he ate one of them, and then took a bite out of the other one and chunked it down on the table and left it for Nick. War Texas A&M, War Damn Eagle, have a good day.
Oh, man, that is a call right there. That is well done. A bunch of you guys want to chime in. I don't want to cut anybody off, so we're going to let you do it. 855-242-7285. Plus, I'm telling you, there's truth in here, right? You know what? We all knew this. Like, our moms grew up saying there's three sides to every story, like one person's side, the second person's side, and the truth. I think I found the truth in all of this. I'm going to tell you what it is, plus we'll take more. Your calls, 855-242-7285. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz. Fill in it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feinbaum Show. Jason Fitz filling in for Paul. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Follow along. Hang out with me. 855-242-7285. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. I know that's not an easy hot take, and everybody wants to make one side absolutely right or one side absolutely wrong. But what if there's this middle ground on all of it? What if at some level Jimbo and Saban are both right and they're both wrong? And that's hard for everybody to admit because everybody wants it to be as clear as this side sucks and this side's perfect. But it rarely is that in life. It feels like there's this complete middle ground that's been lost in this entire conversation. And to me, we got to look around at some point and say, is it possible that there's a bunch of guys with A&M, they're getting name, image, likeness opportunity, and that's part of why they chose to go there? Sure. Is it possible that that meant some athletes chose to go align with that school and have that opportunity? Yes. Does that mean that they overlooked anything else with the school? Maybe, maybe not. Conversely, if you're Nick Saban's side, like, are you looking around saying, man, we're going to have a hard time competing if this is the new world? Maybe. Are you looking around saying, we got to find more money? Probably. I mean, is it possible that College Station is an awesome college football town with a great environment? Like, I'm going to be Marty Smith here. Like, one thing I love about Marty Smith is Marty finds a positive in everything. Is it possible that Nick Saban is a good coach, great coach, an all-time coach, the best coach of all time? With a great squad that gets everybody to the NFL and has found a way to compete in this and is trying to leverage a message so that he can continue to be all of those things? Yeah. And at the same time, Alabama's a great place? Yes. And then is it possible that Jimbo is not only a really good coach but also a good salesman that's selling a great campus and a great game day experience with some opportunities around name, image, likeness? Yeah. It's possible that everybody's telling a little bit of the truth and everybody's telling a little bit of a lie. And they're telling the truth in a way that helps them and a lie in a way that they also think helps them. That's not an easy answer for everybody to accept. But I think in this case, it might be real. But guess what? A&M should be a really good football team this year. Alabama should be a really good football team this year. And they're going to figure it out. Both of these squads, not just this year, but for the next decade, are going to figure out how not to just be competitive in the moment, but to be competitive long-term. 855-242-7285. You guys are fired up. I want to let's keep getting in. We've got Randall Hogg joining us now. Randall Hogg, what's he got, man? What was your first and foremost, what was your first concert, Randall?
Well, the first one was Alice Cooper, The Scorpions, and Iron Maiden.
No, oh, that is a hell of a show. Was it good?
Yeah, they were doing the Jim is an Idiot tour.
Oh, man, that's funny. That's funny. What you got? What do you want to get off your mind?
Listen, you don't pay no attention to that dude. He's as full of crap as a Christmas goose. Don't listen to him. He don't know nothing. Yes, we're going to have a parade when Paul comes back. Yeah, it don't have nothing to do with you. It just has to do with we love Paul. That's all. And Jim's jealous of Paul. That's all there is to it. Now, let me tell you what's going on between Nick and Jumbo. So the other day, Jim called the show and he said, Paul, the show is dead. It's dead. So Paul calls Nick and he says, Nick, my show's dead. I need some content. Nick said, I got you, Paul. So Nick stirs up all this trouble so Paul can resurrect the show and everything will be fine. That's what's happening.
You know what? I love every ounce of that, Randall. Thanks for the call. I'm going to tell you this right now. Man, if anybody in the world's got that kind of pull, it's Paul Feinbaum. And I do cartwheels when Paul's back, too, because I would never pretend that any of us can fill the seat of Paul Feinbaum. That's what makes him great. Also, Alice Cooper, fun story. I was at the Mall of America years ago on a day off on tour, and Paul Cooper was in the little sushi restaurant that we were sitting in, and we were having lunch. So I'm sitting over there. For anyone that doesn't know, Alice Cooper's been dry for many years, doesn't drink. So we sent a Diet Coke over to his table as a nod to the great Alice Cooper. Came over, nicest guy ever. You would never think, like, back in the day, if you could have told somebody Alice Cooper, nicest guy, nobody would have ever believed it. That is absolutely true. He is. All right, Chuck in South Carolina. Chuck, first and foremost, what was your first concert?
I don't know if it was a concert, well, more like a show. I'm going to go country on you. It was in the middle 70s, and it was the first tour when Hank Williams Jr., after his mountain climbing accident, his very first tour at a honky-tonk in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, probably held 100 people, and he squeezed about 350 in there, and I think he took one break and played about 30 songs and brought the house down.
Oh, that is a spectacular story, and that is honestly a concert that gets talked about a lot because it was a big deal for him to get back out. That's great. I love that story.
Yeah, we were fans of his, and of course, you know, everything changed for him. His voice changed. Everything changed. He had 14, 15 surgeries. They rebuilt his face, his jaw, and I think he just got better, and he got a new band. And then real quick, the next one was about 8-10 years later. We all went to the Roy Orbison concert, and it was one of the last ones he did before he died, and it was iconic also.
God, that's just a great I'm telling you, there's something about certain eras that you saw cooler concerts. That's amazing. All right, Chuck, what's on your mind with college football?
Yeah, one more thing, too, that I didn't tell you. I didn't tell the screener. I've been listening to Paul forever. I'm 79 years old. I've been a fan forever, and I'm always thinking about who's going to replace him. In my mind, the guy that I have on my list, number one, is Rick Neuheisel. I'm a big fan of Rick Neuheisel. You are right now right nipping at his heels.
Yeah, well, that's an honor because I think Rick does great work and is also a great hang. And frankly, Rick and I need to jam sometime.
The other thing is on the Nick versus Jimbo, here's the way I look at it. 20, 30 years ago, I went through the recruiting with my son, who was a premier athlete in the state of Virginia in track and football, went through all the recruiting. If he was doing it today and he was picking those two schools, the guy I would trust for what he was being told would be Nick Saban. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, and thanks for the call, Chuck. I think this is part of what we need to remember, too. You know, when you start talking about recruiting, the other part of name, image, likeness and the concept of recruits being bought that I think is being forgotten by a lot of people is that coaches are still going to have to be honest through the sales pitch. Because there is this moment for name, image, likeness where at some point many people will have to be able to show some return on investment. And on Spain and Fitz, I talked to a couple of people that are experts on name, image, likeness. And yeah, there are some donors that have billions of dollars and they'll never care. That's fine. But there are plenty of people that right now are being relied on in this name, image, likeness world to give a little bit here or a little bit there. And at some point, they've got to see return for it. You don't just turn around and say, hey, you know, I was lucky enough last fall to get to do a Dodge commercial with Marty Smith and my buddy Gary Streisky. And I'll tell you this, Dodge wasn't hiring me. Dodge was hiring Marty Smith, right? And I know that Marty Smith was the return on investment. Now, over time, do you hope that it grows to a point where suddenly there's return on investment for guys like me and Gary? Sure. But we all know that Marty was the reason they wanted that commercial, right? Like, if you're a player, you got to know what you're getting into. And if you're a company, you got to know why you're paying somebody to do something. And as much as we love this concept of money being never-ending and free-flowing, I don't think it is for everybody across the board. So the name, image, likeness portion is still going to come down to what coaches are being honest with you about opportunity, what schools are going to be forward-thinking about putting together groups that can help you manage that stuff and negotiate that stuff, and what school is going to find opportunity for their kids that want to be agents to learn as this process goes along. There are so many opportunities. We're looking at the fails. I'm only looking at the opportunities. And if we started to focus more on the opportunities schools have moving forward, that's a different mindset. That's what bothers me so much about what we're hearing right now. So much right now is like, oh, this stinks and this is never going to work. I want to hear instead, hey, we're figuring it out and here are the solutions we have. 855-242-7285. That's how you get in on the fun. We'll take more of your thoughts and solutions on all of this. Who's right? Jimbo, Saban, the argument's not going to end until they face each other this season. But in the meantime, the SEC has plenty to say about it. And we'll take more of your calls coming up on the Paul Finebaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz filling in.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finebaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz filling in for Paul. Having a blast hanging out with you guys. 855-242-7285. I'll be in with you all for the rest of the week. So we're going to get to hang out. Today I'm asking everybody, in addition to getting whatever's on your mind about Jimbo, Saban, and all things college football, I'm also asking you to get off your mind your first concert memory. And I hear that we have Ridley in Alabama on hold, and Ridley has an interesting topic to talk about. I have no idea. But first, we got to start. Ridley, what was your first concert?
Can you hear me?
I got you, Ridley. What's going on?
Nothing much, just helping my, just running around with my cousin, helping my dad campaign. He's running for state rep.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, good luck. I hope everything goes really well for him. So, Ridley, how old are you, buddy?
13.
Have you been to a concert yet?
Yes, sir. I've been to a Natalie Grant concert for Hope for Justice, which was, the concert was for raising awareness about human trafficking.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you enjoy it?
Yes, sir. It was fun. I actually got her autograph.
Oh, that's awesome. Natalie's had an incredible career and is incredibly talented. Do you have a favorite person that you haven't seen yet?
Probably Luke Bryan.
Oh, that's a good one, Ridley. That's a good one. I tell you, Luke Bryan puts on a heck of a show. I'm sure you'll get to see him. He's touring, so I'm sure you'll get to see him. And when you do, it'll be amazing. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about?
The NBA draft.
What's going on with it?
I just wanted to know who you thought was going to go number one overall.
Oh, okay. That's a great call. And thanks, Ridley. I think there's some debate on who's going to go number one overall. Some people see Banchero, the kid out of Duke, going first overall. A lot of people have Chet Holmgren going first overall. Chet seems to be the guy that has sort of the least downside. So I think there's a lot to Chet Holmgren. Jabari Smith also is on the list. So it's going to be one of those three people, just sort of whatever your favorite flavor of ice cream is. So Chet, I think for a lot of teams, would be the top overall pick. But if there's a knock on him, it's that he's kind of skinny and can be knocked around a little bit. The question is, can he put on more weight? And Banchero was somebody that we thought all year was going to be the top pick out of Duke, but it took him a long time to show up. So I think, you know, if you're the Magic, you're looking at it saying maybe Jabari or Paulo is going to be the right guy for you to build around. I don't know. My gut says Jabari, but we'll see where it goes. I appreciate the call, Ridley. Enjoy it, and enjoy the draft. The NBA draft, by the way, is one of the wildest things in the world to me, because so often, not like the NFL, like the top pick in the NFL draft, you know exactly what to expect from day one. The top pick in the NBA draft, man, this year, particularly tough. It's not like it's the Zion versus Ja debate. It's a much different world than that, than we're talking about. So let's go to Ray in Alabama. Ray, what was your first concert?
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you for taking my call. Second of all, Jim is a narcissistic curmudgeon. And third of all, my first concert was at a place called the Oporto Armory in Birmingham. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but at that concert, four of my friends, college roommates, we went to the concert and said, look, if these guys can make money at doing this, we can do it too. And that's how we got through college. We went back and formed a band and went and made our way through college.
That's amazing. Do you remember who the band was that you saw that made you realize you could do that?
I sure do. It was a band called String in the Beans, and their namesake song was a song called Georgia Pines.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to check them out. I'm not familiar with them, so I will check that out for sure. And, hey, good for you on figuring out, hey, if they can do it, we can do it too. That's amazing. So what's on your mind
That's
in
right.
college with the Jimbo and Saban argument?
Well, let me tell you what. I went to almost every college in Alabama except Alabama. I got an MBA in finance, and my son went to Alabama. I really love the state. I love all of our teams. But one thing that really irritates me about Nick Saban and the coach at Auburn is they will schedule Podunk U before they will schedule South Alabama or Troy or Jacksonville. Look, if you're going to have a walkover game, make it local. Make it within the state. Now, maybe they were afraid of South Alabama taking some kind of player because, look, with the NIL, they can get whoever they want. But go ahead and schedule these teams, these programs that struggle just to make it. But before you take your money out of state, let's take care of the local things.
That is such a good – Ray, I appreciate the call. And, you know, there's a couple of things that have been said to me today that I'm going to steal as talking points, and that's one of them, because you're right. Like, there is an opportunity. I won't say obligation, but there's certainly an opportunity for local schools to help local schools. And when you start talking about what's on the line for some of these smaller colleges that want opportunity, trying to help in-state makes a lot of sense. Now, I'm not going to pretend to know why that hasn't happened yet. And if it's just ego that hasn't let that happen, then, you know, shame on everybody involved. But, you know, to Ray's point there, I think there's a real opportunity when you start talking about funding other schools in the state. And that's what happens for these things. You know, when you talk about what cupcakes mean to the schools that have the big reputation, it doesn't mean much. But when you talk about what cupcakes mean to the cupcake, it's everything. We sometimes forget how big a deal that is. And I've talked to some guys that played in some of those smaller school from that standpoint, and they always say, look, it's so special to be able to stand in these huge stadiums and get that opportunity. Even if you know you're going to get your butt whooped, it doesn't matter. You want that opportunity. What better way to reward the kids at South Alabama or one of the schools that are close to Alabama than by letting those cupcakes come locally? Also, it reduces some of the cost for everybody involved. Like, hard to find a loss out of all of that. So, again, I'm not going to pretend there's always a complicated reason why things like this don't seem to happen. I'm going to look into it, dig into it, and see if I can find that answer. I'll never lie to you all about what I know and what I don't know. But what I do know is that there's always opportunity for schools like this to turn around and say, hey, we're going to help our brothers and sisters in state. And that's a great opportunity when you're talking about the amount of money that's in hand, that's at stake at this point for major college football programs. You guys have been chiming in, 855-242-7285. All of this conversation about Saban versus Jimbo, we'll keep it going, and all this conversation about name, image, likeness. But there's a real conversation about schedule and a couple of different opportunities scheduling-wise that are going to come up in the SEC over the course of the next week or so. And that raises a real opportunity for schools to focus on one thing. I'll tell you what that one thing is, and we'll keep the conversation going. Again, 855-242-7285. That's how you get in on the conversation. We'll take more of your calls, and we'll give you more of my thoughts on all things around what's going on in the SEC and how they can get it right in the world of scheduling. That's coming up on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for the great Paul Feinbaum.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.